good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. We are coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Just a reminder, if you're looking for some new snappy merch to wear for the summer like this, you can go to civicmedia.us and go to the shop up on the right-hand corner, and we have t-shirts and hats and other wonderful things, so you can help us spread the word and pick up a Civic Media t-shirt or a WAUK t-shirt, civicmedia.us, and go to the shop button. Coming up after the 11:30 news, there is a new trend, apparently, that manly men are doing on planes. Can't wait to talk about that.
Gross.
Now, though, however, we are joined by comedian and writer and friend of Greg Bach, Eitan Levine is here. Good morning, Eitan. Thank you so much for joining us.
First of all, let me just say what I do on my plane rides is none of your business, okay? Don't plane shame me.
Don't mean to plane shame you.
I go on there, take off all my clothing, and I sit there, and then I watch Crazy Rich Asians, like everybody on planes does.
I always watch that when I'm on a plane, actually.
Right? Isn't there like certain movies? Remember the Titans also. Every single time I go on there. And the other one is 1918. I feel like it's just a rotation of those.
Well, and you fly a lot.
Yes, yes. The reason I'm in Milwaukee right now is because I am breaking the Guinness record for most ceremonial first pitches thrown over the course of the year. 50 pitches to raise money for Make-A-Wish. I had cancer. I got a Make-A-Wish. I'm really excited to be giving back to them. Tonight is pitch number 18. I've been, you know, just traveling essentially the country doing Major League and Minor League Baseball teams for the past coming on 2 months now. Since April 10th. Yeah.
It's wonderful. Eitan reached out to me, I probably a month or so before he went on this journey, and I was just like, this sounds absolutely amazing, but also very you.
Yes.
And I mean, forgive me, I forgot that you went through cancer. But I was like,
well, I made it up. No.
But Make-A-Wish is a wonderful, wonderful group. And like, what was the beginnings of it? Like, you're just like, I want to do this. And how do I do that? Like, it sounds like a huge undertaking.
Yeah, so let's do this. We'll do this at two steps. Okay, first of all, just on Make-A-Wish. So like I said, I had a cancer when I was a kid. My Make-A-Wish was, do you know what my Make-A-Wish was? We ever talk about this?
I don't think so.
My Make-A-Wish was to do stand-up in New York.
How old were you?
I was 15 at the time. So I had cancer when I was 10 years old. And I originally was like asking them for a battle bot. Remember that fighting robot league that I was on? So I brought a bunch of Make-A-Wish people. You know, they send the reps to your house. And then I put in a VHS with BattleBots on, and then I watched a bunch of Make-A-Wish volunteers look at this and just like in unison be like, there's no way. There's absolutely no way we're giving this kid a death robot. And then afterwards also, I will say the Man Show came on right afterwards. And
perfect.
It was very funny for like the second that the Man Show was starting. Anyways, so years later, you know, I went through a bunch of treatment. I will say that it was 2 years of chemo, which is awful. And then I had about 15 years of rebuilding my leg. So, you know, a couple of years after that initial conversation when I was 15, I had already started to do stand-up comedy, and I, you know, really wanted to perform in New York somewhere. So Make-A-Wish set up a thing where I went and performed in Caroline's on Broadway.
Wow.
Now gone.
Wow. It is a spin, which is a tennis, table
ping
tennis.
Pong.
Yeah. It's Susan Sarandon's tennis club moved in there. You know, every comedy club is turning into a Santander bank, basically, out there at this point. But, you know, it was to do stand-up there. I opened up for Daryl Hammond from SNL, which was awesome. And, you know, they drove me out in a limousine with a bunch of my friends. It was, like, an awesome time. And I think that something that a lot of people don't fully grasp about Make-A-Wish is they think everything is donated. They think like, oh, Disney donated, they get this for free, they get that for free. And while some stuff is definitely donated, there is a lot of effort, a lot of like man hours, and a lot of just like money that goes in to making a wish. So it takes about $10,000 on average to make a wish.
Wow.
The goal is to raise enough at the end of this entire project to have to raise $100,000 so we can do 10 wishes out there.
Oh.
And so I hope that we can do that. And if we can get like $10K from each of you.
Sure.
Calvin, you got your checkbook, right?
Do you take Amazon Prime in-store card credit?
We'll give you some gift
cards. I take Dunkin' gift cards, yeah. So last year, you know, Greg knows about this, I did this thing in my apartment called Apartment Fest, yes. Which was a five-day comedy festival.
Wait. Yeah. Okay. Apartment Fest.
Yes.
What is the square footage of your apartment?
Okay, so I will say Apartment Fest 2, I was in a bigger apartment. Apartment Fest 1, I could basically put 10 to 15 people in my living room. And the idea...
So you moved.
So I moved to a big... Also, I was like for sure getting evicted after Apartment Fest 1. I had to move into a place that had way easier Apartment Fest rules. you know, the condo board didn't need to...
Weigh in on everything.
Actually, very funny story is that the reason why Apartment Fest started is because I got rejected from a comedy festival I never applied to. I got That's an email right. from a place that was like, you didn't get in. I was like, I never, don't tell me that. Like, I don't need this on my conscience.
That hurts worse than getting rejected from a festival you did apply
yeah,
to.
Yeah, totally. Because I set myself up for that. They were just telling me, like, by the way, don't even bother.
You didn't make it. Yeah. You're not going to make it.
In this industry at all. So I was like, yeah, what is a fest then? And by the way, Milwaukee Comedy Fest, great fest.
Thank you very much.
I just thought, like, I put a logo up and I put it onto, you know, I put it on the internet and we got like 137 applicants. To it. And, so I made a thing. I had to make like a couple days and we got sponsors and everything like that. And the funniest thing was that I got jury duty the day of the first show in Apartment Fest 1. So I go to the court, right? And I get past the first round of it. And I'm in the courthouse, right? And they start to do all, you know, the stuff. And then they give out the sheets and they're like, here are the dates for the thing. We're going to take lunch. And after lunch, you know, you can come in and you can tell us if you can't do the dates, right? So we go to lunch. I don't know if it's 420 friendly in Milwaukee, but in Newark, New Jersey at that day, it was 420 friendly for Aton. And I go out. So I partake. I get back in there very high and I go up to the judge.
Oh, God.
And I go, Your Honor. First of all, I literally say Your Honor. Okay. I go, Your Honor, I am putting a comedy festival on in my apartment. And the first day of the trial is the first day of the festival. So I can't, and I got to pick up chicken. We had chicken sponsored by Sticky's Finger Joints and I got to go pick up the tray. So I can't be there the first day. But what I can do is if you record the trial, I can listen to the, and I can give my thought. And then as I'm saying that, he says, stop talking. And then he points, he goes, go over there. And as I'm walking away, I hear all four lawyers in unison go, you can dismiss it. And that is how you get out of jury duty. That is a foolproof. Anyways, Apartment Fest 2, it was in my, when I moved in my apartment, and we raised $1,500 for Make-A-Wish, Apartment Fest 2. We sold out every single show except for one that got rained, and it was an awesome time. And working with them on that, you know, and being able to donate money to that, when it came time to do the 51st Pitches project, it felt like a very clear, like, oh, this is, you know, this is good. And I will also say this, like, past couple of months in America, little angry. Everyone is PO'd at each other, no matter what side of any debate or anything that you're on. And I think that charities like this that are so apolitical and, you know, everyone can get behind, Republican, Democrat, Jill Stein guys, you know, we can all get behind Make-A-Wish. So it felt like a very good way to kind of like do something that hopefully
everyone.
Exactly.
Eitan Levine is our guest. If you're just joining us, he's a comedian and a writer, and he is traveling across the country, throwing out 51st ceremonial pitches at ballparks all around the country. And it's all to raise money for Make-A-Wish. And you're doing this with the sponsorship of the Guinness people.
Yes.
Now, I've heard that.
Not sponsorship. Let me say that I looked online.
Okay.
I was doom scrolling one night. I looked online and I saw that it was unclaimed at 40. So that is where, so then I emailed them. I was like, can I try to do this? And they were like, yes. And they sent me like rules and regulations.
Okay.
I have a little bit of a TikTok following doing Jewish stuff and doing a lot of Jewish stuff. But a lot of the teams have Jewish Heritage Days. So I had worked with some minor league teams and the Mets last year on doing stuff with their Jewish Heritage Days. So when I saw it unclaimed at 40, it was a very like easily like, oh, I could figure this out. Kind of thing.
So what kind of requirements do they have
so
for this to be officially official?
Yeah. Funny story is that I was talking with the Savannah Bananas and
the Savannah Bananas.
They are the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
They are amazing. They figured out baseball. People that don't like baseball, they love the Savannah Bananas. Savannah Bananas, last time I watched them, I literally turned it on and the announcer was doing that like in-game interview where they were mic'd up with the pitcher. And it was the announcer and then the pitcher's ex-girlfriend. And they were basically interviewing each other while the pitcher was pitching during the thing. So they figured it out.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But, you know, I was in touch with them. And then we're still in touch with them. But there was an early question of like, they were like, we don't throw a first pitch. We throw a first banana. Does it count? So I had to like go back to Guinness and kind of like look at the rules and stuff like that. But it has to be, you know, we have to have witnesses. We have to have documentation. It has to be at an event or a game that wasn't set up for the purpose of the pitch count. You know, had to be part of a league that was sure. already going. And I can't be paid by the team, I think.
So 50 first pitches and a banana throw.
Yeah. If I do two banana throws, I think I would have the record for most bananas
thrown. I was going to say, yeah. There you go.
Andrew from Maine has a comment on the live stream. Do you have to get the pitch across the plate for it to count?
Okay, let me just say, technically no, but I'm not bouncing it, okay?
All right.
Now, granted, I don't have a good arm. I was when I did the Nashville Sounds, they have that like guess your pitch booth or whatever.
Yeah.
I get up there, I ask the kid running it. I'm like, how much do people throw? How fast? And he goes, you know, kids probably about 45 to 50.
Oh my God.
Adults probably in like the 50s. You know, if it's a really good, you know, someone in the 60s. I then proceeded to throw at 41 miles an hour, 43 miles an hour, and 41 miles an hour, less than a kid.
But what in your head do you like as you're throwing? You're like, this is definitely 75.
Yeah. I go up there, I'm like Tim Lincecum. I'm just like, check out these pitches. And then I just ephus it the entire time. My only goal is not to bounce any.
Yeah.
That is really the only goal, and I'm arcing it.
And you're going to be at the Brewers game tonight.
I'm throwing out the Milwaukee Brewers tonight.
I am so excited. I get to go to and watch it happen. I've been telling everybody, I'm so proud of you. I love this so much.
We're going to keep this conversation going. Eitan Levine is our guest, comedian and writer. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin on an active daily basis. We are joined by comedian and writer Eitan Levine is here, and he is on a quest to throw out 50 first ceremonial pitches, all to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
I'm sponsored by Cybertruck, so watch yourself. No, I'm just
I understand there's a big pile of them somewhere in Arizona that you can see from space.
I will say, traveling the country, one of the things that has thoroughly surprised me is people actually are driving Cybertrucks.
I have yet to see one. I just started seeing the Ravinas, those...
Revions?
They look like Dagwood with the big big eyes. They look weird, but those, I've not seen a Cybertruck yet.
They look stupid.
In Austin, there was a bunch of them, and a couple of them were like wrapped and stuff like that. Like, can you imagine buying that and then wrapping? Insane. Yeah. Absolutely.
Is that going to help them to stop rusting? Because I understand rust and water is kind of an issue with these products.
Also, all of the cars he makes aren't made for humans. They're all made for, like, they are made as if someone hates humans. The handles that you got to push in. I have never pushed that freaking handle in to get the Tesla open and thought, this is good ingenuity. This is the way a car should be built. most complicated way possible.
E-Town is going to be throwing out the ceremonial pitch tonight at the Brewers game, and then you are going to be in Madison.
Yes. So also tomorrow, I will say I'm throwing out the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers first pitch in Appleton. Appleton?
Yes. Appleton.
It's Appleton, Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
And then Madison at the Madison Mallards on Thursday, and it's going to be stand-up comedy night there, which is going to be kind of like wacky. Yeah.
You told me what's going to happen. Like each comic is doing 2 minutes.
2 minutes of material between every inning.
Oh my gosh.
Which they told me, they were like, here's an idea. And I was like, are you sure? It's maybe terrible, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And they're like, yeah, let's go for it. All these teams, the independent teams and like the minor league teams, they're so into like the kitsch. They love screwing around. You know, Staten Island Fairyhawks just had Christmas in July a couple of days ago. Mm. The Portland Pickles, you know, the funniest Twitter account like of all time. I remember last year I was at Lake County Captains and there was like a fight that happened in a Major League Baseball game and someone got punched out and like was laying on the floor right by the second base. And they had a promotion where after the game, if you wanted to go lay by the second base, they had a jersey that you could put on and we'll take a picture of you laying down like that guy did.
Well, that was one of the things that when we talked to Kyle Chisholm from the Mallards a couple months ago regarding their Chris Farley night. And one of the things I said to him is that it feels like, you know, while MLB has, they have fun. Mm-hmm. They have fun theme nights. I feel like Milwaukee has really fun nights. The independent leagues really do it well because they think outside the box.
Yes.
They don't have as much restrictions as MLB does, so they can do crazy, wacky, weird things and just have a blast. Because I understand the argument that baseball might be a little boring. I get that. But when you do something like the Savannah Bananas do, that's not boring. You're going to be entertained every single moment you are there, and you're going to want to go back. I want to go see them play someday.
And I will say this also, like Major League Baseball, they just announced they had their best weekend attendance-wise like in years. And baseball attendance in general has been like up over the past year. They're having a really good season, and these minor league teams are also really seeing some of the trickle-down from that, and they're capitalizing on it. You're seeing more and more of these theme nights get covered in media. You're seeing just like them willing to have a lot more fun, and there is a very fun thing about some of these theme nights where a couple years ago, Major League Baseball bought minor league baseball, and when they did this, a lot of those like unlicensed theme nights had to kind of go away. Like, you know, you couldn't be like doing like, oh, we're doing Bugs Bunny night and then not paying out to, you know, Warner Brothers
sure,
and stuff like that.
For copyrights. Yep.
So, you know, some of the teams, they would go to these bigger licensors and they would go like, hey, like, can we, you know, what would it take? And I'm not going to say which team, but I will say that they went to Lucasfilm and they were like, hey, you know, Star Wars night's a big night for us. Can we do it? How much would that take to license? And the Lucasfilm was like, listen, it's a lot. There's no way you can afford this, but you can have it for free as long as you donate the jersey sales or something to Make-A-Wish or to some charity like that. So a lot of the licensors have gotten around this and have been able to kind of flip this on its head and turn it into like charitable nights, which is such a nice story.
Yeah.
Minor League Baseball's nice. I think that's the thing, is that you walk into these stadiums and they're like embassies of unhatred. Like no one's protesting these stadiums. There's not an angry bone in your body when you're going to watch, you know, the Danville Dairy Daddies play the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Like you can't get angry at that.
Well, and that's something you said too before, is that, you know, I went to the game last night. I saw Reese hit a grand slam. That was pretty cool. But
I don't like him.
Whatever.
I'm a Met fan.
Get over it. The thing that I love about baseball is I look around and I see people and I don't know who they voted for. I don't know what they think. I don't know. I know this.
Yeah.
They love the Brewers. I love the Brewers. If they sit next to me, we could talk about the Brewers for hours. And in that moment, we can connect.
Yeah.
And you can take it further from there. I'm not going to get into anything high-minded thinking. But those are some of the ways we do connect, is through our sports, through our shared experiences of regional, like, you know, you love Summerfest, you know, like Mets fans love disappointment. Yeah. So there you go.
It's prison. Obviously, as a Jew, it makes a lot of sense being a Met fan, because it's the thing I can just get angry at myself every couple of days for, you know. And I will say, just like based on that, you know, one of the biggest issues with Congress that they always talk about is how it used to be that all the Congress people lived in D.C. They lived in D.C. and then they would go back home for whatever, but they would primarily live in D.C. Their kids would go to the same schools. They would be on the same PTAs. Their kids, you know, they had to be together.
It was community.
Exactly. And that sports is one of the last forced community things possible where everyone is just angry at the price of beer.
Well, and even that, I mean, it's so much more, minor league baseball is so much more affordable than major league baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And again, there is a, a lightness to the whole thing just from the team names. Yeah. We could do a whole half hour just laughing about the team names because they're priceless.
I have a joke where, you know, like you go to, like I've thrown out the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp and the Hartford Yard Goats and the Danville Dairy Daddies. And then sometimes you'll go to a team and they'll have a new name and you're like, oh, I love this new name. And they're like, we hate this new name.
Oh, no.
We like the old name. And they're like, well, what's the old name? And they're like, the Kansas City Jews. And you're like, okay. By the way, I'm Jewish. Everyone at home, I can say it. But if you laughed at that, then unfortunately, I got to take away your Twitter account.
So are you going to be on the road continually until you're done?
Essentially, yes. It's a lot of like, yes, I'm on. The way that I've like set this up is that we're doing like week-long stretches or two-week-long stretches. I go from here to St. Paul. Well, I go to the Quad City River Bandits, and then I go to St. Paul. And then on July 4th, to do the St. Paul Saints on July 2nd. And then July 4th, I'm doing the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, wow.
Which is awesome. And then I come back, and then we're doing a bunch of like LA and Oakland runs of stuff. Vancouver, Portland, we're doing a little bit of a run. Ohio. So we're doing Akron, Lake County, and the Cleveland Guardians. Right now, we have 46 teams booked. 10 of them are major league. Tonight is the second major league team. If you own a professional baseball team out there, slide into my DMs. It's worked before. The Binghamton Rumble Ponies, you know. Anyway.
Keaton Levine on his quest to throw at 51st ceremonial pitches, raising money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Best of luck, Eitan. It's been so much fun having you in. We'd like to talk to you when you're done.
We'll do 51stpitches.com.
51stpitches.com. News is next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm ready to play. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also call and text directly once you download the free Civic Media app, so do that wherever you get your apps. Want to thank Eitan Levine for joining us the last half hour on his 51st pitches quest that he's doing all across the country, raising money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. That was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's just a burst of energy. I love it.
And if you want to keep up with his progress, we will have a link in our show notes.
Correct.
That you can follow Eitan as he continues traveling around to different ballparks all around the country. I stumbled on this article in Esquire magazine the other day, and before Greg and I got on the air this morning, we're like, I don't even want to mention the term that they're using for this because it's just ick.
Yeah.
The ick factor is way high.
It's not a cuss. It's not a swear. It just doesn't feel good to say. And I'll say this. If you want to find out the term they're using, go to civicmedia.us, go to the shows page, download the second hour of the show, and you can listen to it. You can read about it. I will put it in
the show notes.
The show notes, but it's just ugh.
So there's apparently this new trend among manly men that they're doing on airplanes.
Yeah.
And it started with a guy from London, 26 years old. His name is West. He went viral in May, posting about his decision to not watch any entertainment at all while on a 7-hour flight. And instead, all he was going to do was watch the flight map. And again, they're calling this, I don't know why they had to bring sex into it. It's essentially a sex term about not using protection during sex.
Yep. Now you know what it is.
So, why it's called that, I have no idea. But from London to Miami this week, I went all the way with no food or water. I swear this makes it go quicker. Just watching the flight map, not a movie, not listening to music, not reading a book, just watching the flight map. And I think you get special points, extra points, if you don't eat any food or drink any water or go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I was really surprised by this article because it's just so weird. It seems like not a story to me, for one thing, but we're talking about it now, so here we are. And I said to you before we got on the air, I've gone on the, like, especially Southwest. When we take Southwest, I fly mainly Southwest. You can go on their app, you can pull up their tracker, and you can watch the flight fly across the country or wherever you're going.
Right.
And I find it interesting. I'll watch it from time to time. In the last half hour, I kind of keep my eye more on it. And that's about it. I mean, I might sleep, I might watch a TV show, I might play a video game on my phone, but I would never make watching the flight status or the flight plan unfold before my eyes the thing, not only the thing I need to do, but also treat it as some sort of weird flex.
Right. Right. Like, I don't know what, again, this, you're more manly apparently if you don't need to be, I don't know, you don't need to watch a movie or urinate. I'm not sure. You guys have to explain this to me.
Calvin, when you're on a flight, what do you usually do?
I usually read. I think this is unhinged behavior. I mean, I'm prone to getting bored, like, just in general life. So I can't imagine how bored I would be on a plane with nothing to do but look at people.
And the flight map. And again, my husband and I go overseas. That's an 6 to 8 hour flight. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I will check the flight map. At least until you get over the big pond, there's not a whole lot that you're looking at on the flight map. So yeah, I'll watch a movie or I'll play a game or crossword puzzle or something like that. I couldn't sit there and do or read a book. I mean, I couldn't sit there and just do nothing.
What is the difference? Manly men, if you're listening to me, if you are into this action on planes, what's the difference between watching the flight thing on your phone and just looking at your watch? You know when you're going to touch down, you know, approximately. So why not just put your watch on your leg and just watch your watch slowly creep to the point where you hit the ground? I completely agree with you, Calvin. This is unhinged. Like, this, I don't even want to call it toxic masculinity. It's almost like, what masculinity? What are you talking? Like, you can't chop wood. You can't take down a burr. You can't start a fire. Fine. I can't do either of those things either. But it doesn't, like, delineate the manliness. What for me seems like just like, I don't watch movies on my phone. I just sit there and look at my phone and watch the tiny plane on my screen go.
This guy from London who apparently started this trend, 26-year-old West, he only gave his first name.
Of course.
West and others see this as a kind of challenge, like the Tough Mudder or No Nut November.
Oh, God, I can't believe you said that.
The goal being to see how fully participants can deprive themselves of creature comforts up to and including free snack and drinks and bathroom visits. A true phrase that we're not going to say, takes no indulgences. So it's about depriving yourself to prove your manliness.
Okay, first of all, they used the Tough Mudder. That is an intense experience, sometimes including like electrical shock. Like, there'll be like wires exposed.
That you have to crawl underneath and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, that is not the same as sitting on a plane and staring at your phone. I have said no thank you to snacks on a plane. I told you this before. I don't, unless I have to, like it's going to be a problem. I never go to the bathroom on a plane because plane bathrooms
are tiny.
We're not built for my size. So it's an inconvenience. Well, I mean, let's face it now. If you're on a Southwest flight and you're over 6 feet tall and you're over a certain poundage, it's fat shaming, essentially. It's awful in there, but you cannot. I don't go to the bathroom. Once again, do not pay myself any mind or give myself points or any sort of congratulations. No. I've simply just made decisions and I do them and then I move on.
West says on a recent trip from London to Bali, which is 20 hours. This has taught him there are benefits to flying without any entertainment or water or bathroom breaks beyond its meditative nature. West says his best ideas have come from the time spent locked into the flight map, just thinking, I'm there, like, oh, we're flying over Afghanistan. Oh, we're going at 36,000 feet instead of 37. Or, oh, I think that's a good idea as a new series on my TikTok. When I landed in Bali, my mom said, you have so much energy. And I'm like, I feel fine. I feel recharged. I feel like I've been able to have time to myself.
I don't want to harken. Well, you know, we were talking about Project 2025 earlier, and I don't want to get into like the darkness of it all, but that sounds like something that the supporters would say, like, I did this thing and now everyone notices. You look so refreshed. Why? You were looking at your phone. That doesn't provide.
Or the screen in front of him.
Yeah. Seriously. You want to meditate? Close your eyes and meditate. But I cannot understand. Not to mention, this is one guy who won't give his name.
Well, there's a couple others, apparently. They're developing a little club where they can admire each other for their ability to deprive themselves of things, apparently. Robert from McFarland, listening in Madison on WMDX. I'm terrified of flying, so I try to fall asleep as fast as possible. I wish I could sleep on planes.
I can only
sleep. I really, really wish I could sleep on planes. Yeah. I just can't.
I can only do it if I take something, and then I'm paranoid. Like, I did NyQuil once, and I knew I was snoring, and never again. I just doze off, and whatever.
But it's if you can sleep, good for you. I think that's a skill. Now, that is worthy of points.
Yeah.
Being able to fall asleep and get actual REM sleep on a plane, Robert, that's worth like 5 points.
Yeah, you Robert, you are the manliest of men.
you just beat West.
You beat a man at looking at his phone. Good job.
Andrew from Maine, what do they do if they're on a plane that has no flight map? Well, then I guess.
I think they all have to have flight maps, don't they? I mean, there's. Oh, I see what you're saying. If they don't have access to like a.
Well, and not. I mean, most planes, yes, have those screens now and the seat in front of you. I've never downloaded a flight map app.
Yeah. If you go on southwest.com or like the Southwest website on the plane. And you can watch a TV show, but up the top of the screen, you can click a little thing and it gives you, yeah. I'm sure that like all the major airlines have that now because it's
well, it's interesting.
Fun.
It is interesting. And it's certainly, and I do think it's fascinating when you watched and geographically, and I'm over this country now, and it gives you more of an idea about geography and the layout of the world. So I think that's all great and useful, but this just goes back to, you need to be applauded for this. You need some. They want recognition.
Yeah.
They want recognition, and like it's a special tough guy club to be able to do this.
These are the same guys who say, "Oh, you know, young guys are soft nowadays. Everyone needs a participation award." I give myself a tiny little treat when I watch my phone on a plane, and I don't take the snacks.
The last benefits of doing this may be the most significant. He says, West says, everyone else leaves you alone. He recalls how a man who was seated next to him in a middle aisle opted to squeeze past two people on his other side rather than disturb West. He must have been like, I don't want to bother him right now. He's locked into this altitude. No, West, I don't think that's what it was.
Yeah,
No.
I think you're just making up facts now. I think you're
make yourself feel good.
Exactly.
I think the person walked past because they just saw a guy like staring like insane at this front of a screen.
I think that guy's just staring at the flight map.
For
his
hours.
Eyes haven't moved.
Yeah.
For hours. Robert accepts the 5 points. I'd like to thank the summers of training I had in the drum corps, living and sleeping on a tour bus every night. Oh, Robert, that's hilarious.
That sounds painful. Like,
oh,
traction.
On a bus. All right.
Ugh.
Manly men doing manly things.
We're running out of manly things to do.
Oh, you think?
We're making them up now. Because, you know, what are manly? Okay, you are a woman. What would you consider a non-toxic, manly thing to do?
Hmm.
And Jane's opinion does not apply to you if you disagree. I just wanted, because I feel like at this point, we're making things up. We're just designing our own versions of masculinity.
Okay, this is not going to go the way that she wants. I think a man who is kind and honest and honorable, that's what makes you a manly man.
Okay.
I do.
All right. Can he kill a bear, too?
He doesn't have to. I mean, in a pinch,
yeah,
bear killing would be an advantage.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that in order to be a manly man, you have to kill a bear. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree with you, as because I can't chop wood or start a fire. But
you could chop wood. I can show you how.
Okay, that's Jane teaches Greg how to be a man.
And then we'll just stare it into space and look at nothing and give ourselves points for
it. Well, that's the other thing, too. If you're not on a flight, you just stare up in the sky at the planes and you're like, oh, look, that one's going to who knows?
Stay with us. We have one more segment before the top of the hour news, and then our friend and colleague Todd Alba takes over from noon to 2 p.m. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking about this article in Esquire magazine about a new trend among manly men who deprive themselves of basically every creature comfort on the plane except for watching the flight screen. So, okay, have fun.
Men are
why?
I don't, you know what, guys? Guess what? We're dumb. We make up dumb things. We do dumb things. We say dumb things out loud. Like, I'm such a man.
There's plenty of that to go around, though. But women do plenty and say plenty of dumb things too.
Oh, I know. I'm just not going to say it. We got a text from Tyler listening to Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR saying manly men get shot out of cannons to get where they need. Where they want to go. That's true. You put on that suit and you put on that helmet.
That little helmet that's going to save you, yes.
You're like, I must get to work now. Fire!
Tyler, listening on WFHR, that's hilarious, Tyler. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what a manly man would do. Just avoid the plane and go directly to the cannon. Sounds like a plan.
Would you ever get shot out of a cannon? I feel like as two people who have jumped out of planes, to say no to certain things, like, well, you've jumped out of a plane.
I would have back in the day.
Yeah.
At this point now, at the age I am, I'm just so aware of how many different ways I can get hurt. And you would think, come on, you've only got so much time left. How bad can it be?
Calvin, have you ever jumped out of a plane?
No, but it is something I would be willing to do.
Would you get shot out of a cannon?
That seems a little ridiculous.
But there can't be that. There can't be any much finesse involved. It's really the firer of the cannon who's going to control everything. You're just kind of a human projectile.
Exactly.
Where do you land? Is
well,
it
you land
net?
On the hay or the net or a big
I don't
pillow.
Know. I trust a parachute more than I trust a net.
How would you know? You've done neither.
Fair enough. But I did. you heard about, I think it was at the Dells, some person died at one of those attractions where they free fall you out into a net. And they didn't have the net raised up high enough.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This I'm not was laughing like, at the person. It's just
like
the,
10 or 15 years ago, I think.
Oh. Way to be a downer, Calvin.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
There's risks involved.
Yes. Yeah.
I have reason to be suspicious of nets. I have less reason to be suspicious of parachutes.
Calvin, suspicious of nets.
Net suspicion.
How do you feel on net neutrality? Just kidding. All right. I would get shot out of a cannon. If you showed me the exact...
How this works
from start to finish, how you'll be pushed out, where you will land, the nets secured at a nice height, I think I would try it. I just don't think they do that anymore. It just seems like a stunt of a bygone day.
Well, and I would imagine that size is important and weight is going to be important, mm-hmm. and... some of us projectiles will be heavier than others.
I will land closer to the net.
Closer.
Yes, exactly.
And the other thing I did have an opportunity to do, which I did not do, and this was after I jumped out of planes, we went to the bridge in New Zealand where bungee jumping started.
Yeah.
And it's over this river, and it's pretty high up. And... we got to the edge of the platform and looked over the platform, and it's like, I can't do this because I could see where because I could see the ground. When you're jumping out of a plane at 12,500 feet, you can't see anything. So, but looking at the surface, that's going to stop me was just like, I don't think I want to do that.
Well, that's the thing about bungee cord jumping that I've never
bungee jumping.
Able,
yeah.
Bungee jumping. I've been able to wrap my brain around. Like I said, I'll jump off of a plane because I know I'm jumping out. I'm attached to somebody, there'll be a parachute, and we'll land on the ground. All that in theory, everything goes well. In my head, I don't understand why when I jump off with a bungee wrapped around my ankles, why I don't smack my face on something. I know that when you, the tension, you raise up half of the length of, usually half the length of where you started, but it just still feels like at any point, my face will hit a bridge. And that just feels weird to me. So I'm just like, no, that doesn't feel like.
I think we'll pass on that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll jump out of a plane. I won't watch a movie. I'll just stare at my phone. That's how I'm a man. I'll chop wood with my hand.
Robert from McFarland, if you call yourself a manly man, you're not. just like having to try and point out you're a good person. And Todd from Oshkosh, I heard a woman at work today use Jane's definition of a manly man almost word for word. There's definitely something to being a good guy. That's Todd from Oshkosh listening on WISS. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And then Chris Casper, our very own Chris Casper, responded with regard to the woman in the Dells. The girl in the Dells lived.
Yeah, I just looked it up and I was going to butt in that she did survive.
But again, that's something that sticks with you. That's for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, those things, I think those days are, I don't know if I have one more jump in me. I think I might be done with all that and let people who really enjoy it do it. And
Calvin, I think you should do this before you're 30. I think this should be our goal for Calvin before he turns 30.
Wait, how old are you? 25?
He's 20.
I'll be 26 at the end of October.
I think you should do it before you turn 26 because I'm not waiting 4 years. He'll push this
he's
off
on
until
his own timeline. Come on,
folks. We're putting together a coalition. Get Calvin.
Make Calvin jump.
Push Calvin out of a plane. Make like a Russian oligarch and push him out of a plane.
Sounds a little harsh for the
really?
Show.
Really? Oh, okay. We'll zhuzh the language.
We'll zhuzh it up a little bit. All right. Thank you so very much, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, absolutely nothing works. Thank you to our guests. Thank you to Eitan Levine for joining us in studio. That was so much fun. And Maggie Dawn as well. If you want to learn about Project 2025, give Greg about a half an hour to get the show notes up. We will have a link in there to the actual document itself if you want to read it. And I would really encourage you, if you didn't hear the first hour, to go back and listen to the podcast.
Please do so.
I think it will be valuable information for you.
Yeah.
We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, and then Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4. Thank you so very, very much for calling and for texting, and above all, for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. News is next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.